Let us pray. O God, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the creative insights in the universe. We thank you for the lives of great saints and prophets in the past who have revealed to us that we can stand up amid the problems and difficulties and trials of life and not give in. Grant that we will go on with the proper faith and the proper determination of will, and we will be able to make a positive contribution to this world. In the name of Christ, amen. So last week we celebrated the baptism of Jesus and learned about how Jesus insisted on having John the Baptist baptize him in the Jordan River, along with everybody else who wanted to repent and receive forgiveness and new life. We learned about how Jesus got down in the mud with us to take upon himself the mistakes we've made, to be in solidarity with us. How God sent Jesus on a mission, which was to call us beloved children of God, when in fact we deserve to be called on the carpet. Sent to show us that this is what it means to be adopted into God's family, as God's own beloved children, invited to join the family business which is dedicated to loving others, just the way we'd like to be loved ourselves. Wouldn't that be neat? Kind of a marquee on the back of your truck, you know, saying, our business is to love others as we have first been loved. This week, in our reading from the fourth gospel, Eric's favorite, John the Baptist is testifying to the fact that he believes Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. And as John is standing with two of his disciples and Jesus walks by, he exclaims, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." And those two disciples of John begin to follow Jesus. One of them, by the way, is Andrew, a fisherman, who happens to be the brother of Simon Peter. And when Jesus notices that they are following him, he says to them, "What are you looking for?" And we assume that Jesus is probing deeply into their hearts and their souls with his question. For if they are up and following him, it must mean that something basic and essential is missing from their lives. Their souls are hungry for more. And they are addressing him as Rabbi, which translated means teacher, we are told in Scripture. So one would expect that they might have been looking for a very serious theological discourse from Jesus, a lecture on what it means that he is the Son of God, the Lamb of God. Historical perspective on how the lamb was sacrificed and the blood, you know, all that stuff. But when Jesus asks him, "What are you looking for?" there's almost a comical answer that he gives to these two disciples. Because what he says is, "Where are you staying?" What? Where are you staying? And yet, perhaps from the two disciples, the question and the answer are really pretty important for us to unpack. Their question really isn't so funny after all. Just maybe they've touched on something far more important than to sit and hear a lecture on theology from Jesus. They aren't interested, apparently, in the finer points of theological discourse. They aren't interested in endless debates about the meaning of Jesus' baptism. The two disciples want to get to know Jesus better. They want to spend some quality time with him, to follow him, literally and figuratively. And Jesus replies to their question, "Where are you staying?" by saying, "Come and see." So all of a sudden, their question doesn't seem so funny, so odd. Where are you staying? And we read on that they came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. What's the point? Jesus doesn't try to preach at them, but rather he invites them to come and see. When John adds a detail that it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, this was a significant detail for us to understand because it signaled that it was the beginning of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus the rabbi and his disciples would be staying in one place until the end of the following day. So they had lots of time to be together. That's the point. They would have this extended period of time to be with Jesus, to get to know him, to come and see what Jesus really was all about. In the other Gospels, Jesus has always invited people to follow him. In John, he invites people to come and see. Charles Campbell, in his lectionary comments on this text, says about these three little words, come and see, the following. Rather than first understanding who Jesus is and then setting out to follow him, Jesus' tender invitation brings these seekers close to him in relationship to where he lives and knows that being in that relationship will tell them what they need to know and transform their lives. John the Baptist in our gospel for today points to Jesus. He bears witness to Jesus. He reminds us how important it is for us to come and see Jesus, to be in relationship with Jesus, and to learn from him how to be in relationship with one another. One of the great challenges of our own lives of discipleship is the temptation to forget that it's all about relationship with Jesus. When our relationship with Jesus is solid, then we begin to get our relationships with one another right. Our discipleship can do without getting the building projects right, believe it or not, or the program strategies right, or the council minutes right, Bill, or the marketing of our church right, Rosemary, or the balance sheets right down to the penny, Chris and Kurt, or the liturgies right, Eric. We can do without grabbing the reins from each other in our zeal to get things right, by making efficiency according to the world standards our norm. God knows that's not how we do business around here. But what we cannot do without is Jesus, staying with Jesus. What we cannot do without is coming and seeing Jesus and the way he relates to others. We cannot do without taking our Sabbath with Jesus. And not with our agendas for what we do on that Sabbath, but with Jesus' agenda for us. Each week, Jesus invites us to come and see. Come and see what he will show us, what he will share with us about how we are beloved in God's sight and how we are to help others to see themselves as beloved too. Whatever it is that Andrew saw in Jesus when he and the other disciples accepted Jesus' example or invitation to come and see and stayed with him, it was so compelling that he went back to get his brother Simon to share with him what it meant to stay a while with Jesus. Don't we do that when we meet somebody interesting? Don't we want to have other people we know meet them too? Don't we want to spend more time with them to get to know them? That's how we felt about you, Lisa. And you came and saw for a while and decided to stay. And we are grateful to God. Jesus invites us to come and see where he lives. Jesus invites us to stay with him. Maybe for some of us, we stay with Jesus by doing Bible study. For others, as we sit quietly in prayer each day. Perhaps you stay with Jesus when you sing hymns, yes, all seven verses. Or listen to Eric's preludes and postludes, or sing in the choir, or perhaps you stay with Jesus while quilting blankets, or knitting prayer shawls, or delivering food baskets, or recycling bicycles, or teaching Sunday school and vacation Bible school, or helping out at the Lutheran Care Center, or serving on committees and council, or counting offerings, or building a Habitat House, or welcoming a refugee. Or advocating for those who cannot make their voices heard without your help. Or delivering donated food to hungry neighbors who rely on St. Paul's Pantry every single week. One thing is for sure. When we decide to come and see for ourselves where Jesus is staying, we're going to be transformed by that experience with him in that place. We will know what it really means to be beloved. Tomorrow is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, that great prophet of our time who sacrificed his love to show us his life, to show us more about the beloved community and what it means and what Jesus intended for us, who inspired us to open our eyes and love all people. On Epiphany Eve, there were 12 other disciples who gathered at my home to inaugurate what we have affectionately called Club 33. Eric joined me in hosting those in our congregation who are on the younger end of the spectrum. I'm going to quit saying 20s and 30s because there were people there that crept up a little bit beyond that. And during the course of the evening, I invited the group to respond to three leading questions as a kind of icebreaker before we enjoyed our dinner together. The first was a sentence they were invited to finish. The sentence went like this: "You might be surprised to know this about me." Oh, and we learned some very interesting things about each other. And what happens at Club 33 stays at Club 33. We closed with another sentence that they were invited to finish, and that one was, "At First Lutheran, I wish..." And we heard some more things that were interesting, and we've taken those to heart, and we're going to be talking about some of those suggestions in council upcoming. But the question that brought almost unanimous consensus was the middle question. What have you found at First Lutheran that brings you back? What brought them all back was a sense of being loved and welcomed unconditionally wherever they were in their faith journeys. They had found at First Lutheran acceptance in their diversity and a warm family feeling despite the eclectic nature of the people who make up this membership, because I can't figure it out. But that warm family feeling meant something to them, whoever they were. What they had seen when they came to First Lutheran was relationships that were mutually supportive and accepting. How marvelous to hear that feedback from a demographic that is reported by national surveys to be disassociated in unprecedented numbers from traditional faith communities. In a few moments, we're going to welcome Lisa. And in a few more, probably a couple weeks, we're also going to be welcoming her sons, Andrew and Philip, into membership. I thought it was going to be so cool to have Andrew here while we were talking about Andrew in the gospel, but that's all right. We're going to let him come in anyway. They've been coming and seeing what God is doing through all of us who comprise the First Lutheran family, and now God has called them to join this little branch of God's family here on the corner of Catherine and Mill Streets. They bring with them too many gifts to even list in a sermon, or we'd be going on and on. And they have found in you gifts that they wish to receive and continue receiving. Christ has indeed made us one body, many members. And today is also our annual meeting. We come together every year to reflect on our progress in discipleship in this place at this moment in our history. And we're going to hear reports on every aspect of our life together. And we're invited to take some bold new steps in our commitment to be a prophetic witness. One of those is we'll be voting on whether or not to become a Reconciling in Christ congregation. And I'm just going to add this little bit that I didn't have in the sermon, and that is last Sunday, my niece was looking at a church that she'd been invited to attend. And we looked at it online, and we just couldn't really tell if I'd be welcome there. And so she texted the person who had invited her. And she said, you know, my aunt is a UCC minister, and we're looking for a church that's open to the LGBTQ community. Are you open? Would you welcome her? 8 hours passed. No response from a close friend. After Sunday, her friend had obviously consulted with their pastor. And the carefully worded response came, yes, you're welcome to attend. We never speak of those things from the pulpit. But you are welcome to have a one-on-one conversation with the pastor. I responded to my niece, who of course had crossed that one off her list. I gave up on half welcomes years ago. It makes me so, so glad that you didn't give me a half welcome here when I came to interview to be your pastor. We celebrate all that God has done for us at the annual meeting. Can it really be that we budgeted for a $40,000 deficit and are ending the 2019 year at least $13,000 in the black? How can this be? Only by God's grace. We can only respond in wonder and awe to all this good news by affirming today's psalmist when he writes, great are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God, in your plans for us. None can be compared with you. Oh, that I could make them known and tell them that they are more than I can count. Come and see. Come and see. Amen.